Well, these are your prayers. I don't want to disrupt your all service. But I do feel like the Lord gave me a little thought to share. Thank you. I'd like to look at the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Oh, I'll start the 20th verse. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." It sounds to me like that there were some instructions that Solomon wanted to give, and that he wanted them to be very intently looked at and considered, because they're going to make a big difference. They have the ability to influence. I think that's what they were for. If you was to give instructions, you would consider the fact that they would be the influence. They would influence in something that you do. And I thinking about that and considering it, and I'm not sure that we do anything in our lives that there's not a reason for. Now, you may not know what that reason is. It may be hard to figure it out or articulate why you did what you did when you did. But there's a reason you did what you did. We was at the park yesterday, and we was over by the river down there in Neosho, one of the children come running and said, "Want the keys or something?" Said, "We're going to get some ice cream from the ice cream truck." Well, I could hear a little ice cream truck was over there coming, and so went over to the ice cream thing. Well, I said, when they said ice cream, I said, well, I want ice cream too. So I took off for the ice cream truck. And I suppose I could say there was a reason why I did that. So I went over there, and as we was doing with that, there was a little girl come up, just a little old thing come up there, waiting on us to turn, and I noticed she had a little change in her hand. I wasn't really sure that the little girl had enough to buy anything, but she was waiting to buy something, and when I looked at her, she was kind of a little scraggly looking, I guess. She was a little, and she was waiting for ice cream. And, you know, my mind flashed back a long time ago, because I'm 52. But I remember looking at things like that and didn't have anything. I remember being in school and other people buying popsicles for a nickel. I didn't have no nickel. I remembered that, and I said to her, "You want ice cream?" "Yeah, she's want ice cream." "You got any money?" "Yeah, she's got money." Okay. Well, I didn't put it any farther than that. But it would have been real, real hard for me to have left that situation without her any ice cream. There was a reason for that. And it was put in there a long, long, long time ago that made me feel the way I felt at that time. But there is a reason about everything that we do. Well, the scripture here says, "My son, attend to my words," because I want to instill something in there that's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference if you'll do it. This is what's going to come out. I'm wanting to put something in that will allow you to have something come out. Folks, you can't get nothing out if there's nothing in. Or I'll say this, you can have things in there that comes out that's not what you want to come out. But he's saying attend to it. Pay some attention here. Incline thy ear. Don't turn away from me. Pay attention. Don't make it indifferent to you. Make it important, because I got something that if I put it in there, you're going to get some benefit from it coming out of your life. let them not, the words he's saying, let them not depart from thine eyes. I don't know exactly all that you could get out of that. But it's almost like, write it down. Have something that reminds you of it. Don't, your eyes, see it. That can be a metaphor, I know. It can be something that means something, you know, to see something. But it can also mean, make it important enough to tie the string around your finger if you need to. You ever have the Lord say something to you? Now, I do this quite regularly. I feel like the Lord said something to me, and I said, I'm going to write that down. Because I know I'm likely to forget it if I don't write it down. Then sometimes they'll say, well, I can't write it down. I ain't got nothing to write down with. Lord, would you please remember what you told me and tell me again? If I forget it because I feel like it's important because I feel like the Lord just told me something. And I want to remember that. It's very important that I keep it forefront in my mind. I don't want to forget what the Lord said. So the instruction is, this is going to mean something to you. So don't let it leave. Don't let it leave. Write it down if you have to. Get a journal. Get something. Do something that you can look back and say, yes, I know we're human. I know we're faulty. But I have a way of bringing this back and back and back until I become habitual in what I'm doing. Now, I've told this story several times and we'll tell it again because I'm talking about, I think there's something valuable here that comes from the way we do things. And I think it's a choice that we can make. It isn't just saying, I want to be a robot or do it outside. No, I want to make a choice that I develop good habits in my life. I want to make a choice before the Lord. Lord, help me to respond naturally in the right way as much as I can. Help me to be gentle and calm when things are roaring around me. Help me to pattern myself. I've known people that just sat calm when everything was and considered. Wait a minute. Let's calm down. Take it. That's a good habit. Well, anyway, my son worked a snowshoe, Seth. He worked a snowshoe and he didn't have snow tires on his car and he needed snow tires. So he ordered him some snow tires, but he didn't have time off of work to get the snow tires on. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, you take my truck to work and I'll go down. I'll take your car and go down and get your tires put on. So we was going to do that. And so I called my daughter, Sarah, and said, hey, Sarah, you want to go fishing? She said, she likes to fish. I said, yeah, I'll go fishing. I said, well, I'm going to take Seth's car down to the shop and down by the trout stream. So we'll go down on Seth's nickel because it's his car. We'll go down on his deal. We'll get the tires put on them and you'll go fishing. Well, that sounds great. So we did. We went down and I hadn't driven his car. No, I took it to the shop, got the tires on, and we went down to the trout stream. I pulled over beside the road and get out and go fishing. She's fishing. We fished for 45 minutes, didn't catch any fish, come back. And I said, well, let's go up to the bridge. Maybe there's something up there. We'll go back up there. And so we get in the car, and I go to turn the key on, switch on, nothing. I mean, not even a click, just nothing. Oh, no. Here I am, 20 miles from my house. His car won't start beside the road. And we sat there for a long time and said, well, what can you do? Somebody will come along that I know. I know a lot of people down. So somebody will come along in a little bit. And we didn't have no cell phone, no way of contacting anybody. And there we are. Nothing. And I'm saying, oh, well. So a little bit of guy that from fishing there come up. And I had the hood up. So he says, oh, you got some trouble? And I said, yeah, battery, I guess. You know, so he got jumpers. No, don't have any jumpers either. And then he looked at his Jeep and said, well, I don't have any either. But he says, you want me to go? I said, I don't live very far. You want me to go get my jumpers and my jumper cables? And I said, well, be honest with you, I ain't going anywhere. I mean, if you do, I mean, I ain't going anywhere. You say, well, he said, well, I said, well, I'll go do it. And I said, well, you know, I'd really appreciate that. But I said, hey, let me try to start this car one more time. So I get in the car. Now, I've got to interrupt and tell you something. I have a little Chevrolet truck. And when I'm home, I probably, without exaggeration, get in that car or that truck maybe 10, 12 times a day. Get in that truck, go somewhere back. Go to the library, go to the store, go to the library, go back to the property, go down to the chapel. I'm in it a lot. And there is emotion to that. You get in there, you start it up, you put it down. Everything's on the column. So when I pull in, I'm habited to pull in, put it in park, turn the key, take a key out, and go. It's my habit. I do it all the time. So with Seth's car, I pull in, turn the windshield wipers on, take the keys out, because it's in the floor. The shifter's in the floor. So there wasn't nothing wrong with the battery. It was in drive, sitting there beside the road. And I thought it wasn't working because it won't start in drive. But it was because I am habited. I do it 10, 12 times a day. It is what I do habitedly, and it's a good habit as long as that's the truck. I mean, that's what you're in. But it happened to work bad there. But I thought about how we respond to the habits that we build in our life, the way we do things. So I was thinking about it and thinking, Lord, help us to pattern ourselves, make a good habit in our lives. It ain't a bad thing to say, and it isn't bad to be that way, because it's still a choice. We say, I want to be habited to good things in my life. I want them to be set strong and structured in my life. I want to have good things in my life. Listen to the way the scripture says this. It says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. These words. Now, that's interesting to me. When I read it, I said, that's interesting. Because there's all kind of expressions. You could say, keep these in your heart. I think we'd understand that. So then what's the significance of adding, keep them in the midst of your heart? Because it gives us a new reference and idea. It's talking about it being in the center of your heart. Wrapped up. Wrapped around. He's saying, wrap your heart around my words. In other words, this is going to be influence to you. Wrap your heart around what I'm saying. Don't just listen to it. But wrap your hearts around it until it is the influence to why you do what you do. Do you know, I believe today that we're not capable of the inside of it for the most part. We're not capable of seeing the results of everything we do. But I'd be willing to say that every experience that we have that we wrap our heart around will show itself somewhere along the line. And if we have a bad experience, say someone takes advantage of us, if we wrap our heart around that, and it's easy to wrap your heart around it. Now that's a bad thing. It's a bad experience. But if we wrap our heart around that, do you know that thing is going to show itself? Well, it'll be rapid, but the reason that they, and all of a sudden there'll be things coming out of our lives, and we may not know what it is, but it's because we've wrapped our heart around something, and that's what's coming out. If we take, in other words, and something happens, and we become bitter over that thing, that's wrapping your heart. You're wrapped around that thing. There's something that makes us want to do that. Take these things and put a heart around it. Sometimes it's so I can never be done that way again. I'll never be hurt again or whatever it is, but I wrap my heart around this circumstance. Do you know it is impossible that that wouldn't be the influence of the motions of your life? It would have to dictate some of the things of your life because it isn't a seed of the heart. What he was instructing here to with the positive would work equally as well with the negative. He was saying, take my words, these good instructions, wrap your heart with them. And when you do, that will be the motivating force for your actions. Let's say this. The scripture says, God is love. You've heard that scripture. I've heard that scripture. We all know that scripture. But have you ever wrapped your heart around that scripture? Think about it. Have you really wrapped your heart around it? Take the words of the Lord. Take these scriptures and wrap your heart around them. Put them in the center of your heart. Lead your life. Let your life be led by these passages of scriptures. It would come out then. It would come out in the reason then. Then someone would say things like, well, why did you do that? And the response would be, God is love. Well, they treated you so badly. Why did you do that good for them? God is love. Well, I don't know whatever their answer to give you. That's what I do. It's just what I do. That's what I've got in there. God is love. God loves everybody. We're supposed to love those that are around us. I've wrapped my heart around it. I do it daily. I keep it in my mind. I've wrapped my heart around the things of the Lord, and therefore that's what I do. When somebody says, you sure dress strange around here. You guys sure dress strange. Why do you do that?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I love the Lord. What's that got to do with it? But honestly, isn't that why we do what we do? Don't we want to fulfill the Lord's work in our lives and do what He does? Well, the Lord wants us to be modest. I don't have what else to say for you. Wrap my heart around it. I got it wrapped up. It's just naturally what I want to do. I don't feel right about it if I don't. I wouldn't be out of place if I didn't. It don't take much to make me feel that sense of things because I put my heart around something. Got it wrapped up. And I think about some of the people that was in the Bible. To just kind of clarify the idea. You think Judas might have wrapped his heart around something other than Jesus? I mean, you think about it. Jesus was pretty impressive. Now, if you was out in the outer circle somewhere, not knowing whether to believe or not, he may have not been that impressive to you. But you can't say Jesus wouldn't have been impressive from the inner circle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You want to talk about this guy, this one that spoke like no other man spoke? This man spoke with authority. When this man said something happened. Judas was there with the rest of them, wasn't he? The ones that said, Judas, I mean, I guess he said it too, but Peter said, Lord, I will never forsake you. Other men might, but I never will. I think he meant that. But I think it was still things in his heart that wasn't settled. But Judas had something else in there. I think Judas wrapped his heart. He had his heart wrapped around money. And the scripture actually says that Judas was a thief. You know what it says? He was a thief. He was a thief. He had his heart wrapped around money. He would take other people's money. And he would take advantage of things like that. He had his heart wrapped around that. And here was the most... Now, I want you to think of this. We want the Lord to come and deal with us. We do. I want the Lord to come and deal with me. Judas had all the position, the place, to be dealt with. He heard it just like everybody else did. But because he had his heart wrapped around something else, that had to come out. You want to say, what was the reason that he did that? 30 pieces of silver. That was the reason he did it was he had his heart wrapped around something else. I think Judas also thought, many do, but thought that Judas actually did believe that Jesus had the ability to slip out of their fingers. He thought that he could get the money and Jesus would still come to no harm because he had kind of proved himself to be able to do it. And so I think he probably did think, I can betray him, get the money. Got to get the money. I got my heart wrapped around something else. Folks, whatever you get your heart wrapped around, it will be the influence of your life somewhere or another. And that's why I think Solomon was saying this the way it was. What I say will influence you. If you'll wrap your heart around it, this will be monumental to you. It'll change the way you are. The only way, folks, to change. We want to change sometimes. We'll say, I see the need of change. I'm a covetous person. I want people's money. I want this to happen, or this, or maybe I'm jealous, or maybe I've got bitterness. I want something to change. We want something to change like a lightning flash or something like that. You know, there's only one way to change the reason you do something. You know how you do it? You change what your heart's wrapped around. That's the only way to change those bad things from coming up. You've got to change what your heart's wrapped around. If you got your heart wrapped around lustful things or deviant things or bad things or bitternesses or envies, if you got your heart wrapped around any of that, what do you expect's going to happen? It can't do anything but what was happening. He had his heart on money. Right there in the middle, I think he was with the Lord too. He followed. He must have sacrificed some to do it and all those things. But he had a seat of affection. What do you think Judas did? I'm just saying this. Do you know you can find places where Judas had to have been there? No doubt about it. There is no. You can find scriptures where Jesus deals with the matter of worldly mammon and the lust for money. Jesus actually dealt specifically with those things. And if you look, Judas had to have been in the audience. But he didn't wrap his heart around Jesus' words. Here's this ultimate opportunity for Judas to get rid of this that he had in his heart. Jesus was preaching the message about a rich man, or those that fall into temptation, or those that would be, he said, not rich, but those that would be rich. He told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He told the story of the guy with the rich man. He was there, I suppose, when the young man, rich young ruler, come to him. All of those things Judas never wrapped his heart around, because the influence says that he didn't. But all those things, I think, are meant for you and I. The ultimate changing time is when the Lord deals with that area in our life. And we can't change any other way. We want to change as painlessly as we can. But here's the problem. And understand this. You got to give up the one to get the other. And here's where the pain comes in. Sometimes it's painful to extract. Sometimes it's painful to be honest. And say, I need this took care of. It keeps causing me trouble in my life, and I want to be different. I want to be different. I wish I could be different. But in order for me to be different, I may have to say, I need to be different. If I say to people, I need to be different, they're going to be saying, he's got something wrong with him. Well, it's because, yeah, he's got something wrong with him. He needs to change. You got things in your life, you need to change. And there's only one way to change. I'll start New Year's Day and make a promise to myself that I'm not going to be one of those people that just blast out with stuff like I always do. I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. No. You'll be disappointed. Because there's a reason why you do it anyway. It's because you've wrapped your heart around something. I think of others. And I think of Judas. And the question would be, Judas, what did you wrap your heart around? There was another couple in the scriptures in Acts, about 5. Man and a woman, Ananias and Sapphira. What do you suppose they wanted? I mean, honestly, what did they wrap their heart around? To further the gospel? No. To be righteous? No. They wanted recognition. And they was willing to give so much for it. That's true. You say, well, what was the reason they did that? I'm going to tell you what the reason was. They wrapped their heart around something that was impure. They had their heart on it. Both of them did. They had their heart on it. And they was going to be deceitful to get what they wanted. They wrapped their heart around it. They say, Ananias and Sapphira, what did you wrap your heart around that calls you to do something so against the cause of God, in the pretense of doing something for God? How did you get there? What did you wrap your heart around? Why was it important for you to be looked up as somebody that was special? Why did you think so highly of yourself? You wrapped your heart around something you should never have wrapped your heart around. King Saul. King Saul ended up with a bad spirit. Well, there was a reason why King Saul ended up like he did. Wouldn't you say there was a reason why he ended up like that? Well, God didn't like him. Nope. God didn't like him. Well, it was just circumstances that happened that he couldn't control. Nope, wasn't that either. Saul got his heart on something and wrapped his heart around something that he shouldn't have wrapped his heart around. He becomes self-exalted and self-important. And he got his heart away from what he should have had his heart wrapped around on. If he would have wrapped his heart around the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, got his heart in the right place. And folks, I want to tell us, no matter what it is tonight, this way is about changing. This way is about what the Lord brought to us so wonderfully is the ability to make a difference in your life and change and be able to do that where you can't do it for yourself. The great thing is that this is what Solomon is saying there. Now there's a place that he's saying, I've got something that will help you change. I'm going to give you something. You listen and be attentive and you put it in there and you write it down and don't lose it from your eyes and you put it in the midst. You wrap your heart around it and it'll be a driving influence into your life to the change that you want in your life. You know, God's got all the answers. It's just that we don't wrap our hearts around it. You know, there will be a scripture that will deal. I think when those women came out there, when the scripture says that they come out there, when they come back from battle, and he got jealousy in his heart, when he wrapped jealousy, when he had the seat of his heart, the center, what was wrapped in the center of his heart was jealousy, the only thing that could have happened was for him to destroy himself. What else he going to do with it? He went down a course and a path that was going to be bad for him from the time he started down that road. He put his heart on something else. He didn't look at it from a divine purpose. Come on, God. Come on, really. It wasn't a divine, you know, God's got a purpose in life. He didn't look at it from a divine purpose. He looked at it from his own purpose. It's fairly amazing. I think it's amazing that Saul needed David. He died at the hand of the enemy. And here's a man that was God called to war. David was a warrior. David knew battle. David might have been the one that would have kept him from dying at the hands of the enemy. It was God given. A godsend to him. How would you like to, anybody, what kind of a person you want working for you? What kind of person would you want in your camp? Somebody like David that's absolutely loyal and absolutely trustworthy and somebody that you can count on no matter what. Somebody that bows to you and say, you're my king. And here he took all those qualities of David, you know, because he had something wrapped in his heart wrong. He had the wrong thing in there and he saw it all together different. I'd like to say, Saul, what did you wrap up in your heart to cause you to do that kind of a thing? The wrong thing wrapped up in your heart will deceive you. The wrong thing wrapped up in your heart will cause you to have a very dull vision of truth. The wrong thing wrapped up in your heart will make you to be a fault finder. The wrong thing made in your heart will cause you to feel like that you're the only one doing right, even though you're not doing right. But he's instructing us here, wrap this up in your heart. Wrap it up in the center. Put it in there till it's the influence. You know, the Bible's got something to say about everything we do. I'm going to tell you something. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind did he have? He humbled himself. Let this be guiding. Oh, there's a brother up in our congregation used to like to say it. I think Brother John probably remember him. But he used to say it a lot. He'd laugh and say, he said, no, I mean, you don't want to shout, keep your head down. He used to say that a lot. Keep your head down. You got to keep your head down. You don't want to shout, get your head down. And he was saying, humility, get your head down. I wasn't saying he was humble. I'm saying he knew what to say. And he would say, be humble. Keep being humble. And you know, the Bible tells us, wrap your heart around those words. You want to escape out of most situations, I got an escape for you. Humble yourself. Just be humble. You got to wrap your heart around it though. You know, all these other things, and it's easy. I'm going to tell you, I feel like it's easy because the devil brings a lot of things in, I say, in the struggle of human relationship. We all do that. Maybe there's some people here that don't ever struggle in human relationships, but Probably very few. In one way or another. I'm saying we have family, you have children, you have mothers and dads, and you have cousins, and you have neighbors, and you have in-laws, and you have all the gamut of life. And all of the difference of opinions and all these that goes in life and struggles with life, that's naturally going to cause places that if you're not careful, we'll wrap our heart with something. And what we need to wrap our heart around is the Word of God. And what the Lord wants for us to do. Now think of other people that obviously had something in their heart. I'd like to say, Achan, what did you wrap up in your heart? Well, there was a reason. There had to be a reason. Now let's back up and look at what our spiritual thoughts look like here. How does it look? Okay. I think coming across the Jordan River, you know, Achan crossed the Jordan. He did. The priest, now I get this right. After the 40 years of wandering, now that comes up the time that the Lord has said, okay, Joshua, now it's your time. You know the first chapter of Joshua when he said, Moses, my servant's dead. Now, Joshua, you're the man, okay? And all that I promised Moses, I'm promising you. Now, be strong and of a good courage, Joshua. And I'll be with you. And I'll fight your battles for you. And you'll never see your enemy. You'll never flee from your enemy. That's some promise. I'm gonna be with you. Makes him all those promises. Comes up the time to go across the Jordan. They come up there and, you know, the priest and all that. And they go to step into the water. And the water spreads up. And they walk across the Jordan. Pretty impressive. Told them about gathering those stones and making 12 tribes of Israel there in the middle. And then they put some stones out on the bank as a memorial. That look what the God of Israel has done for us. And they marched on. And there was the fear of the land. Because here they come. And their God's God. Their God's a God. Oh no, here they come. That's pretty remarkable. You know Achan was there? Achan saw it. They give him a command. Now we're going to take care of Jericho first. The great walled city of Jericho. It's quite a thing. There's no way you're going to break into that. But the Lord tells them, I'm going to fight your battle for you. You be faithful. You do what I tell you. I'll fight your battle for you. March around the city 6 times, 6 days, 7 days, 7 times. And on the time I tell you to shout, the trumpet, the blow and all that. And the walls of the city come down. But he told them, all the silver and gold goes to the house of the Lord or the Lord's. And don't touch the accursed thing. Leave it alone. Now, listen, folks. Achan was there. He went across the Jordan. He saw that. He saw the great miracle. You know, Lord, if you'll show me a miracle, I'll live for you forever. Not if you wrap your heart around something else. You want to say, I can see the great miracles and that changes me. It does not change you. Folks, it doesn't change you. What you wrap your heart around is what's changed you. You won't change yourself because God does a bunch of miracles. You'll turn around tomorrow with the same thing if you haven't changed what the desire of your heart is. Lord, help us not to have these things as a part of our heart. Because if you do, you may think, I can get by with this. I'm going to keep this grudge. I'm going to tell you, you won't. It will come out of there. In some actions of your life, it'll come out of there. Because it's what your heart does. So the story of Achan, I'm going to ask you this too. Achan, what was you thinking? Come on. You can't spend the money and you can't wear the garment. You know, it sounds silly, but it makes total sense to me. Because it was his heart. You know, you don't have to be able to spend it or wear it. If you got it in your heart, that's what you want. I've got it. It's what my heart wants. Achan had got his heart wrong. And he had something there that he didn't get rid of. He didn't put the Lord in there. For some reason, he thought benefit to him. He was going to come out some way. And he cost them. It wasn't long till they run from their enemy. What are you thinking, Achan? You know, you can bury stuff in your tent. There's nobody here that can look into anybody else here and know what you got buried. But the results of your life will show. And everybody will scratch their head sometimes and say, well, I don't know why they act like that. I just don't know why. Oh, well, Lord help them. Give them grace. Go on. But down in there, you wrapped your heart with something that it shouldn't be wrapped. And in order to take that out, it's a conflict. Because that has to be extracted. And this other has to be put in. Because they're contrary to one another. You've got pride in your life and you got wrapped up in yourself. That has to come out to get humility in there. You got to get the word in there to take that out. You need the Lord to help us because the changing quality is in this idea. I want to mention also of people that done some good things. Noah, what did you wrap your heart around? What do you think about that? The Lord comes around to Noah and says, Noah, sin of the world's great. Imaginations of the thoughts of the hearts on evil continually. And I'm going to destroy this world. But I'm going to have mercy on you. And you found grace in my sight, and I'm going to save you and your family. But once you build a boat, it's going to take you a long time to do it. And you're going to preach for me while you're doing it. He's a preacher of righteousness. And you, Noah, through you, I'm going to judge the world. One man can live righteous, all can. And you've lived righteous, and you're judging the world, and I'm going to use you to do it. And now here you go. And you know, for all that time, he built the ark. What kept him encouraged? Why did he keep going? Why did he not quit? Why did he not sell out? Why was he faithful? Because he wrapped his heart around the words that the Lord told him. And he was bound and determined to be faithful to the Lord. He wrapped his heart around it. I think the same thing with Job. Of all that he went through and lost all he done and all that happened to Job. And he didn't charge God foolishly. Because he wrapped his heart. He had his heart on God. Can you say that he didn't have his heart on God? Well, he needed some critiquing. He even acknowledged it at the end. He got better for it. God got more in his heart. But you can't change yourself, folks. But it's what you wrap your heart around that does it. There was another I thought about David. David had both experiences. I think about the time that David, it come time that the kings of the year that kings were at war. But David tarried. I think he sent Joab, but he said, but David tarried at Jerusalem. Well, now, wait a minute, David. Would you wrap your heart around? I wonder what happened to David. Because it's clear in that passage that David was out of sync. What did you wrap your heart around? You know that was bound to tell on him? Maybe not in one day, maybe not in two. But eventually it's going to tell on you. And David got told on. Because in the things that happened, that David was a lot less than graceful. He was a lot less than remembering what God had done for him, that God sees everything. And all the things that he had said and encouraged people with, and all that he had done, and all the faithfulness he lived, he had a great black mark on his life and on Israel because of what he'd done. I'm going to tell you, it's because he's got his heart wrapped up with something else. And that had to show on him somewhere along. Let me say this. Folks, boredom in this life is a very real thing. We're in a high-paced world with a lot happening, and we're geared up to it. We're not like generations ago that was easier settled down and all that. We have a lot of flesh. I was in the Walmart. I just will say this on the side. I was in the Walmart the other day, and I'd taken the little ones back over to this little plate. Well, where you put your coins in and do whatever they call it, a little arcade-type thing. And I was looking at one of these games there. It about wore me out just looking at it. It was Batman and Joker, and the Batman's flying around there shooting and stuff, and I'll play his games and wouldn't be good at him if I did, but he was good at us and all this, and these vehicles going, and they were shooting these guns and blowing things up, and it was all this activity and all that, and a little bit it had my mind going 100 miles an hour just looking at it for a little bit, and I thought, I wonder what that's doing to everybody. Oh, I wonder if there's an effect to all that. Well, here, I'm going to tell you one of the effects is we're getting faster and faster, and when we don't have anything going, it's easy to get bored. And boredom is dangerous. It really is dangerous to have something going, because there's David now, and he sounded bored to me. He's a warrior, but he ain't going out to war anymore. He's had his batteries. He won his victories. It just doesn't do nothing for him, and they can handle it, and he stayed at Jerusalem, and he's in the evening time, and he's on his bed. Get up, David. What's going on with you? Something got in his heart. And it couldn't help from telling on him. And he had a weakness and it was big then. He got his heart on something. You know, that snowballed on him and he did all kind of hideous things. But David was also a success too. David had a true repentance. David prayed those kind of prayers. The Lord, give me back the glory, the joy of my salvation. Making me, Lord, a right spirit. Help me to wrap my heart back around the good things again. Clear that out of my mind and my heart. Take that out of there. I don't want to think those lustful thoughts and bad thoughts and envious and murderous thoughts. Lord, clear my mind. Give me the right spirit that I can rejoice and praise you again like I used to be able to do. You know, he was a success in being able to change back and have his heart cleared and get it back. What was he thinking, David? Solomon, wisest man on the earth. Solomon wrote this, folks. You want to read the last bit of Solomon's life? It said he displeased the Lord. The Lord was not pleased with him. Because he got his heart wrapped around something. The scripture says that his heart went out to his wives. He took on all these wives. 700 wives. 300 concubines. He had all of them, and it said his heart was them, and that in his old age, they came and said, basically, we're not of this land. This is not our gods. We had our gods. We want to worship our gods. And Solomon built altars and places of worship for the wives that he loved. Well, why wouldn't he if he loved them? And it also says that he did what the Lord commanded him not to do. Is to take them to start with. Did he think he was too smart enough? You're not smart enough. It has nothing to do with smart. It has to do with what you wrap your heart around in. You know, it's not intelligence. The Lord can deal with the simplest. And they can be very successful living for the Lord. The simplest to the greatest. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It has to do with what you wrap your heart up in. It's what you got wrapped up in your heart. If you're a simple person and you wrap yourself up in God, you're as successful as the most intelligent. They ain't successful. He knew. He understood. He had his great understanding. But he lost something because he wrapped something up in his heart. It's called influence. It will make influence. These women were potential influence. Because whatever you put in there is influence. That's why he said of this word and of his instructions and all that, you be very careful and make that the seed in the center of your heart and you wrap it up and you keep it in there. And therefore, it will direct every decision you make. It will direct you. All these things. Well, listen to what he said and see if they won't. Listen to what he told them to wrap their heart up in and see if the conclusion of this isn't very successful spiritually. He said, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. You can even say that the way of the Bible is, if you want to take it and wrap your heart into it, it is about as healthy a way as you can live life. This body is the temple of God. We take care of the body. It's all wrapped up in there that if you'll pay attention to this, it'll be the best that you can do. We know that we're going to die. But this is the best that humans is advised to do here. It'll be good for you in all the ways around. So, he says, here's the instruction. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, that's important. That's important to realize that what we allow to happen will come back on us. Keep your heart. Keep it. That means guard it. Protect it. Don't be indifferent about it. But watch what you eat, what you put into it. I say eat of the mind. Our minds is an incredible thing. Watch what you put in there. Watch what you put in your heart. Watch what you're willing to go do. Well, so I can watch that without trouble. Can you? Oh, I can read that. Can you? Oh, I can sing that. Listen to that. Can you? The Bible says to guard your heart. That's what it says. And you'll be wise. You watch the things that's in there. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Well, my experience in life is, if I can tell on myself, I'll confess my faults. I've got in trouble more with my mouth since I've been saved than anything else. You'll do very well not to do that. What? And he's just saying, guard that. Watch that. You should be slow to speak. Hear quick. But slow to speak. I told somebody at one of these telemarketers one time, boy, they was just going fast and da da da. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't tell what you're saying. So they said, well, okay, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Clemens, it took off again. We got real fast. I said, I'm sorry, you're a fast talker and I'm a slow hearer. I need more time to hear than that, so you've got to slow down a little bit. We're supposed to be quick to hear and slow to speak. So he gives good instruction. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thy eyelids look straight before thee. He's talking about, again, he's talking about being careful, confined, purposed. I have a purpose. Marking your heart. Wrap your heart in purpose. A purpose. A single purpose. Everything that I allow into my life has to come under the influence of one purpose. That's what he's saying. Don't look to the left or the right for what you're doing. Keep your purpose. This is my purpose. I want to go to heaven. Now, everything's got to fit. Going to heaven. Everything's got to, I want to please the Lord. So everything then has got to fit pleasing the Lord. Don't mean I can't go fishing. Don't mean I can't go out and enjoy life. Don't mean I can do that. I can only not do the things that's against that purpose. Keep your eyes straight. It's good instruction. And if you put it in your heart, he said, if you'll wrap your heart around this and make it a rule of your life. Not something I got to sit and think about. He's saying, this is a heart purpose. It's just like I shifted a truck. 10, 12 times a day, I do it. So I naturally do it. Don't think about doing it. I naturally do it. So he's saying the same thing with this. Purpose. Purpose. When something comes in that's not got the flavor, it don't have the flavor. I'm curious. No. That don't have the right taste. That don't have the right flavor. Don't have the right look. It doesn't fit in with the scheme that I purpose my life every day by. Every day. Ask the Lord, give me grace. Lord, I don't know what this day faces. Give me grace to face this day with and to be successful in this day. Help me with those things come into my heart. I'm shifting every day. Same thing, same thing. Lord, I got to make it here. No, I dismissed that because that didn't fit. Don't fit the purpose. It's what we wrap our hearts in. Wrap your heart in this idea that I got a single purpose in this life. I got a single purpose to go to heaven and take as many as I can with me to be what the Lord wants me to be. The single purpose of that. That's what it is. And again, I'm going to say, don't think that's a stick in the mud and you can't do anything, because that's as liberating as it can be. You can enjoy life. You can be satisfied. It's a part of the gospel that works. It is wonderful. It isn't like that. But it's got victory in it. Then it says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In New Testament scripture, it says, walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. He said, put this in your heart. Wrap your heart up with this idea that you jump quickly into nothing. You consider. You ponder. You make sure of the path that you're on. That you don't stumble. That you don't slip. That you're careful about the way you walk and what you're doing. You're careful about it. That's something that you ought to have in your heart. Is there anybody in here that thinks that they've arrived? And if you can tell me, I'll be all right with it. Just tell me you've arrived and you don't need any more help and you're as spiritual as you can get. And boy, nothing can happen to you now. Now, there's nobody going to raise your hand even if you thought that. But if you think that, it'll be a crazy thing to think. You are vulnerable here in this life. The devil is trying to take advantage of you all the time. We was at a little, I think it was McDonald's actually, and it was letting the children play in this playground. There was a lot of little children in there. And there was this one little girl in there that had a toy. And she was the sweetest looking little thing. And she'd come up to the other children and go, and it was almost pleading, like, "You want my toy?" And as soon as their hands got just almost to touch it, and grin, hoo-hoo. And she wasn't very big at all. And I thought, that's just like a devil right there. That's just like the devil doing that kind of stuff. You think you can't? Oh, the devil's going to come. He's a pretty, well, she's just a cute little thing that seems so attractive and so easy to, the devil is after you. Well, he knows, the writer knows that. The devil's after you, but there's only one way he can get you. Only one way. You know what it is? No, he can't overcharge you. No, people think that, but he can't. He doesn't have that ability. What he does is very simple. He's got something really pretty and cute for you to wrap your heart up in. Once you wrap your heart up in it, he's got you. That's his advertisement, is some pretty object, pretty thing, and he wants you to wrap your heart up in it. And the word here is saying, be careful. Watch, ponder the path of your feet. In other words, what it's really saying is, and as you go along, you do this, and especially on treacherous ground, you say, I got to step here. And there's a good place. Every step. I see. I'm going to take a step. But I want to know that I can stand there. It's got to be solid. Ponder it. Is that a good place to step? If I go into this area. See, what I believe is, and I don't know how to say this exactly, but I believe it's like all these trails that come in to your life. You know, I don't think that we are smart enough individually or collectively or as all of us, as the whole humankind. I don't think that we could get sat down and actually could figure out any kind of a way. There's no computer programs or nothing that can figure out what all the results of an action is. You don't know. And you don't know the trails that lead in. You don't know the trail that you get on, where it's going to go. Except for the ones that's told, that gives us promise by the Lord. You can know where those trails end. If you'll follow this and do this, we know there's a good ending in it. But when you start saying, I'm going to do this, I want to do this, you don't know where that's going to end. People think all the time. I see it all the time in the world. It's quite heartbreaking to see it in the world the way it is. But there is multitudes of people out there that go so far and get so wrapped up and destroy. They destroy their life. It's amazing how many people are self-destructing. Well, the devil's doing it, but they're willing to destroy their young, youthful bodies and kill themselves. Slow death, but kill themselves with drugs and alcohol and bad living and all this, and they're killing themselves, and we look at it and say, don't they know better? Shouldn't they know better? All those kind of things. It's just that they don't know the end of the path that they're on. They don't know it. They've got their heart on something. They've wrapped their heart in something, a pleasure, in a way of life, and they can't help from doing it. Got to have another dose. It's what their heart's on. So ponder, it says, the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In other words, they're solid and secure. Somebody's already went that way. Which way did you go, Lord? Where did you step? This is an established way. The Lord's established our way. And there has been many, many godly and saintly men and women that have deepened the trail that leads that way. They've lived that. That's a good, solid place. Let it be established in our hearts and minds. And then the last one is, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Don't be wandering. Don't be wandering. But be true. Hold these in your heart. Keep these. And it says, remove thy foot from evil. In other words, as you're walking along, that's the analogy. There is temptation sometimes to just check the water out. And we'll say to the young people, that is very dangerous. To start saying, I want to check the water out. It says, remove your foot from evil. If you don't take the first step, you can't take the second. My grandmother said one time, my uncle said to her, she told me about it. He said, now, Mom, you can't tell me that there's anything wrong with drinking one beer. And my grandmother said, that's true. But I never know of anybody that drunk two before they drunk one. Well, I didn't either. You got to do the one before you do the two. That's true. Remove thy foot from evil. It may look like it don't go far. Oh, this is not harmful. Oh, they're just a little too straight. But I'm going to tell you, it's a safe way. Lord, help us. You want better things in your life? There is a way. The Lord has made a way for you and I to be able to have something to wrap our heart around that will influence what comes out of our life. When we wrap our heart with these things, make that the important thing in our life, then that's what's going to flow out of it. And I've thought about it ever since I had that day with that car. Lord, help me to habit my life in a way that what response I have is my natural response of doing what the Lord wants me to do, saying what the Lord wants me to say. I'm just in closing, but a fellow worker was going down the hill one day. It was a pretty steep hill, and I got tripped up, something around my feet, and I went, and I must have fell for 10 or 15 feet, and it was rocky, and I went falling in these rocks, had a can of paint. I think the can of paint was closed. The lid wasn't off of it, but I went bouncing through there. And the only thing I could say when I got stopped, I just said, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And my fellow worker said, "What? What, you're praising the Lord for falling down and skinning yourself up?" And I said, "Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I am. Because the scripture says, in all things give thanks." And so I'm thanking the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? It was just a habited response. That's all it was. It was a habited response. Just thank the Lord. Another time my car went out of control and I looked like I was a wrecking, and the only thing I could say was, "Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me." Wasn't much of a prayer. It didn't go very deep anyway, but it worked. Lord, help me. It was a response that I had when I couldn't help myself, was, "Lord, help me. Lord, help us to get it in our hearts. You pray for me."